Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As always, we appreciate you guys being a part of the festivities. And after a somewhat of a drought or hiatus for Chuck, he has made sure that his presence is felt. And he is chiming in again today on his favorite topic. That would be your Houston Rockets. Chuck, what is up, my man?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I just like to tell y'all, man, I agree with everything y'all saying as far as the outfit. But the thing that I really enjoyed last night was the fact that once they pushed Capella, and I don't know how that wasn't a flagrant foul in today's NBA, the defensive intensity we played with just ramped up. And, guys, that is more encouraging than anything else to see him get mad and play. Cause I used to watch the old Lakers, Celtics of the 80s, and the Bulls. You know, you could play around with it for three quarters, but you never wanted to piss them off. And, guys, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Good stuff, Chuck.
Appreciate it, Chuck. Yeah, man. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately. I got home late in the game. But, yeah, getting Capella, I thought he played good defense in the last game. So, I mean, he's definitely proven to be a good rim protector.
All you got to do, because at the start of the series, everybody would have said to a man that they would have believed that Karl Anthony Towns would have better numbers overall and would win the matchup with Clint Capella. When you look at it now in retrospect and go back, there isn't an area of the game where you wouldn't give the nod to, with maybe with the exception of three-point shooting, you wouldn't give it to Capella. Capella played that good. And he was probably your most consistent player, because we already talked about there were times when James didn't have it going. There were all of game one when Chris Paul couldn't find it. Capella was steady. He was the guy along with James that carried him in first half of game one. But he did everything you could ask him to do. And that's what he's going to need to do and more going forward. But if you missed it, Barry, on one, Capella, as he does, got out on the break, was running, and there was a push in the small of the back as he was trying to finish near the rim, and he went into the camera row, and they reviewed it, and they ruled it was just a common foul. But maybe it did fire him up. I don't know. I didn't notice it to that degree. But I will say this. The other thing that I like is the tenacity overall of this team. And we've said it starts with P.J. Tucker. But even for two ex-teammates that were friends, and Jamal Crawford and Chris Paul, Crawford didn't like that Paul was setting him up to try and bait him into a foul. Then Paul, Crawford's forearmed him to the floor. Yeah. And they went back and forth at it. That's what playoff basketball should be about. I mean, skip all the bro hugs and the buddy-buddy till after the season's over. But that's the way playoff basketball is supposed to be played. I love the chippiness because it shows that these guys care, that it means something to them. And that's something we've questioned in the past with Rockets teams about how tough do they really want to be when the going gets tough. That was the biggest knock on Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Russell Westbrook playing with a big chip on his shoulder. It's funny because you listen to the national media, and I believe it was Michael Wilbon who said, and I totally agree with him, I think we mentioned it or I might have discussed it in not the same words, but he said basically the Thunder came out to bully the Utah Jazz and to push them around, but not necessarily to win that game. I'm talking about the previous game, not last night's game. And I kind of felt like that, like Russell Westbrook was more intent in proving a point against Ricky Rubio than he was in putting together a great game plan to win. But they played well last night, and they certainly, Westbrook certainly played with a chip on his shoulder. Him and Paul George, you talk about two guys carrying a team.
Yeah.
That comeback in the third quarter, I think it was 32-7 is what they scored all 32 points between Westbrook and Paul George.
Just look at the final score. They scored all but 27 points, I think, of the entire total for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But to your point, Barry, I couldn't agree more. It's disjointed focus. I mean, if this team could just focus on things that are more important, like defending as a team, like not, you know, quitting on plays or players. Not worried about Ricky Rubio. Worry about how you stop the Utah Jazz. Worry about how you slow down Jay Crowder or Donovan Mitchell, who's their best player. Those are things where I just think, just like we talked about when we talked about Westbrook alone, but I think it's an overall team mentality. You shouldn't have two of the best five or six on-ball defenders in this league on the same team and have as porous a defense and as just an awful sieve of a defense sometimes as Oklahoma City has.
Yeah, they scored 79 points between the two of them. The Thunder scored 107 total. They were 20 points less than the Jazz team scored combined. The Jazz put up 99. Yeah, that's insane, and that's also going to be a problem for them long-term. If they can't get any help from anybody else, and neither one of them or one of them is having issues, shooting. I mean, what's 5 of 9 from 3-point range for Russell Westbrook isn't going to happen all the time. So it's good for them that they clawed back and it was an elimination game. They were down 3-1. They come out and got the win, especially being down so much in the third quarter to make that comeback. But it's not the signs aren't good for the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is good for the Rockets because they put a graphic on the screen last night. The Rockets versus the Jazz were 4-0 versus the Thunder were 1-2. And I kind of would tend to agree. The Rockets probably don't want to face the Thunder and a motivated Westbrook.
No, I said it.
Because he wants to prove it against James Harden no matter what.
I said it. The team between the Warriors and Rockets that would have to go through OKC would have a much tougher road, and it would be a much more physical, punishing series. So there's no question about it. Rockets fans should be hoping that it's Utah because they've mastered the offensive side of the ball, which Utah hasn't done. But defensively, you do have to be aware because the Jazz with Rudy Gobert on the floor last night, 89.9 defensive rating. When he went out and he got that fourth foul, but overall, in Game 5, when he wasn't on the floor, their defensive rating goes from 89.9 to 133.5. That tells you how important the Stifle Tower is to what they do defensively. But I also think this, there's an art form to winning in Salt Lake City. And one of the big things that, because I had some people on Twitter ask me, are the Thunder out of the woods now? Are they going to take the series? I'm not sold on that because they can't figure out how to play and win in Utah. And not only that, they were down 24 last night at home. That shouldn't happen if you're a contending team. I still am not sold that they're not going to get knocked out here in Game 6.
And just to point out, Ricky Rubio almost messed around and got another triple-double. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists.
Well, damn you, Russell Westbrook. Stop him already. Yeah. God. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5. Now the sun's disgraced.
He who knew his father when he cursed his name. ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
This is unbelievable. I'm not sure what I'm going to get for followers, Nick, but Kevin McHale's wife just said, "What did I just watch?" with a smiley face. So evidently people are looking at it. I'm fine. I don't care. That was fun, and I'll do more. I don't care.
That was funny, though.
Happy to do it.
Is that how you dance in the club, though?
No. No.
Are you sure?
No, Johnny Two-Stepper.
No, he dances like that 12-year-old.
Yeah.
He dances like the 12-year-old on the railing where he's thrusting his
Yeah, I'm a bump and grind guy. That's my game. Yeah, just simple R. Kelly-ish bump and grind. Just don't pee on me. And you have to be of age. Oh, sorry.
Oh, my.
That's R. Kelly for you. Okay, so we've got the other playoffs. It's crazy. There's only one game tonight. But in terms of the other playoff games and what's going on, anybody deeply enthralled with anything else going on around the league in terms of the East? I mean, even the Toronto-Washington series, I was kind of like, okay, well, it's kind of, I assume Toronto would win, but they don't impress me. The big thing for me and just watching this series now is the fact that it goes back to what we said before the results last night. I did expect that Oklahoma City would win last night. not in the fashion and form that they did, having get down 24. Charles Barkley already saying how crushed he was because he predicted that the Thunder would win, and then having them have that great comeback. But overall now, is the rest good or bad for the Rockets? Because they can sit back and watch, and a lot of people say, hope that series goes a long way. Do you, though?
I've gotten two trains of thought at the Toyota Center. Some people think the rest is kind of needed, and some people think that a continuation of play is important for this Rocket squad. I think an extra day or two of rest, I don't think it's going to develop that much rust. I just think they need to work on what they need to work on, like the consistency factor that you've been talking about, getting some of the other players more involved. I love the fact that both Harden and Paul were not playing well, and then you had the other players carry the team. I'm not necessarily so mad at that. So I don't know how much practice they're going to have. I know they're not practicing today, but in any case, I think if they can just work on some of the weakness, how much better can you get in the playoffs anyway? This is the team. And you kind of know what they can do. So I don't know how much it's going to hurt them, and I don't know what Barry thinks on this, but I don't know how much it's going to hurt them if they get extra day or two of rest. I don't know.
What are we talking about here? If this goes seven, then you're talking about what? They play again on Tuesday?
Yeah. Or something like that?
Probably. Friday, Sunday, I would assume, so that the opening of the series would be...
Game seven for the Jazz Thunder would be Sunday the 29th.
Yeah.
So the earliest you would play is Tuesday.
Right, yep.
So you're talking about them having Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off. They'll probably take a day or two off to rest, then do some practice, maybe do some hard practicing, just running through drills, some film study. I don't think it's that long. I mean, if you're talking 10 days, two weeks, possibly, that would be a really long rest for me. But to give them till Tuesday, I would be all right with that.
Okay. This team has shown so far that their propensity to not handle rest well. And the coach has said as much. And I just would rather that, as they now are starting to gel and click and play a little better and put it together more than just for a quarter now. It's a half now. It's more guys getting involved. I'd like to see him stay on that role as opposed to, to idle time. The most difficult thing for an NBA team with idle time is when you do want to, you could say, well, we can scrimmage. But when you're playing your own guys, it's just not the same intensity level as playing a game. So that's the thing that I think that they'll miss the most is to staying sharp by playing against other hungry NBA opponents as opposed to your own guys in the gym on your own practice court. But look, the biggest thing that I'll say is a positive about all this is Luka Mbamute gets closer to being on the floor and gets more rest so that he can be right so you can have him. Because as you now get out of the first round, it's more it's imperative that he gets back and is ready to contribute for this team.
Is it also time to stop saying that LeBron James doesn't have the clutch in him, that he's not clutch after last night? I mean, they pointed out the fact that he's had four game-winning shots in the playoffs. This makes number five. This was a huge one. But has it been unfair to say that LeBron's not clutch, and is it time to stop saying that?
I mean, look, the bottom line is that I would say he's matured into the point where it used to be there was we've talked about this. There were times that he was predictable, and I even said on the air doing NBA games, and I got chastised for it, that he was a choker with free throws and at big times in games. But over time, with maturity, experience, and his track record, he's gotten better and better. And now, whether it's Tyronn Lue saying that was very similar to the shot Jordan hit over Craig Gilo to beat the Cavs, or it was his shot a few years earlier against the Magic in a playoff game, regardless, everybody in the gym knew where that ball was going last night. And I know Shaq was adamant about, why did you let it get to him? Look, at a certain point, you can get him the ball. There's a way to find him, a way to get to the ball. But the fact that he made that shot, stopping on a dime after all his momentum was going to the left, and put the team on his shoulders the entire game, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think that he's definitely surpassed all of the criticisms in that regard, and then some, with his track record lately.
But wasn't it part of the criticism is that he didn't want the ball in those type of situations? Is it even safe to say that anymore?
It's not. And part of that is the fact that, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Nick. Part of that, though, is the fact that that you're going to draw a double team if you're LeBron. They were smart enough, at least. I thought Tyronn Lue drew up a good play on that inbound because he got a pick. They were able, he was able to get some separation from the defenders since they had a foul to give. They weren't able to use that, and he got the shot off. I thought all that was really good. But a lot of times in the past, he's had to kick the ball out because he's been defended so well because he's been covered.
I think there's a lot of times he bailed early in his career. But I think that, you know, look, here's the thing. You look at the stats, and we talked about this the other night when he played 46 of the 48 minutes. The thing that's bad about, and to Nick's point earlier about the Eastern Conference being wide open, but no one really, aside from the Sixers, no one really even puts a scare into you, is because of the fact that there it is a one-man machine right now for the Cavs. He is not getting, the only help he got last night was Korver to some degree. Clarkson hit a few shots, but overall, guys that have been there, done that, and should be picking up the slack and doing some of the things that we've been critical of, you know, role players having to do come playoff time, he's not getting any help at all. I mean, I'm amazed at what an athlete he is because of what he has to endure night in, night out to put that many minutes in to have the ball in his hands for that many possessions and still be as effective as he is to come out and win games.
Yeah, that supporting cast blows, man. I don't know how much longer he can go with that. And that's the reason why people are from the outside looking in are saying, yeah, he might be considering a team like Philadelphia. He might be considering a team like Los Angeles because a supporting cast is important for everybody, for any leader.
Easy, Barry. I mean, we've already been through salary-wise all of the crap that would have to happen for that to come through.
That's still being talked about prevalently nationally.
I
think the amazing thing to me is that the Pacers were in this game to the very end. Oladipo only scores 12 points. Their leading scorer is Sabonis off the bench with 22. But that starting unit didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, Young led them with 16 as far as starters go. Oladipo had a terrible game. And he can bitch all he wants about goaltending. It wouldn't have mattered. Okay, give him
that's
the bucket.
Where I was
guess
just
what?
Gonna
they
go.
Still yep. lose 98-97.
Yep.
It wouldn't have mattered if it was goaltending or not. So.
LeBron haters are going to say, you know, and Pacers fans are going to say that was goaltending. And you're absolutely right.
Great.
But at the other end of the floor, a three beats a two, and therefore the Cavs still win by one. So You can look at it a million different ways. I think the biggest thing if you're a Pacers fan is you should have a lot of hope that they're going to win game six because of just what you said. Their best player, head and shoulders, really had a really bad shooting and off night. If he just has a decent game, they probably would have won last night, but they should win the next game because when you look at the probabilities, the probability of Oladipo putting back-to-back bad games together is not nearly the probability of LeBron getting no help from his supporting cast.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. But to me, I just don't think one guy, as good as he is, can carry that team all the way to another appearance in the finals. He needs more help. And it's amazing to me that guys like J.R. Smith and Kevin Love and guys that have been there, done that, aren't stepping up. And that a guy like Tristan Thompson, whether it's the Kardashian curse or whatever the hell's going on, there's a dude that's been through too many wars to be sitting on the bench the entire game if you have guys out there that aren't getting it done.
I mean, when you think about it, when you think about the East, who's the team with the most talent at this point? You've got the Raptors are DeMar DeRozan and everybody else. Mm. The Wizards, they have two guys in that backcourt in Wall and Beal that can score and can put up numbers. But in this series with the Cavs and the Pacers, it's two one-man games. It's Oladipo versus LeBron James. The Celtics, it seems like they're kind of... Dude,
you can't
Philly
expect them to go anywhere without.
No.
I was just going to say, Philly by far to me.
Philly might be the most talented and deepest team in the East at this point in the playoffs.
Here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. I've been harping on this all season long. Philly executes, they run plays. Toronto may have more talent because they have arguably, in my opinion, the second best bench in the league behind the Rockets. They have two star players. One of those guys is hit and miss in Kyle Lowry when you come to playoff time anyway. But in the final 3 minutes of a game, Philly can execute plays and they have veterans that can do what they need to do. Whereas Toronto runs nothing but ISOs. They don't run plays and therefore they have late in the shot clock rush shots that I don't believe can win you a championship or a conference finals. And that's why I think Philly's the most talented team in the East left.
Yeah. The East shouldn't scare you if you're in the West.
No.
I'll tell you that. Whoever comes out, you shouldn't be scared.
Yeah, I think your NBA Finals is the Western Conference Finals, without question. Yeah. All right, we're at the midway point. We'll take a break. We'll continue to press on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please feel free to join us and throw it at us. 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Second half is around the corner. It's ESPN 97.5.
Jump around. Jump up and get down.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go as we roll on.
What the hell was that?
It was me not exactly smoothing it out, Barry. It happens from time to time. It's unexpected, like my dance moves, but sometimes they just happen.
Speaking of, your video is almost at 450 views.
I'm telling you, I was just telling them in the break, dude. That video is awesome.
We were going to do it today.
That Barry is
for more
funny.
Views.
If you want to see Pac-Man Joel shake his groove thing.
Barry Warner has said he will take his shirt off next week when you're back during a break.
I'll pass on that. I think more time is plenty.
Yeah, no thank you. I'll
How about this, guys,
that.
Before hey, we move question. On to baseball? Can I throw this out to you
okay.
real quick? This was
sure,
just tweeted.
Sure, and I've got a question for y'all.
Okay. According to Chris Mortensen, John Dorsey, the general manager of the Browns, has known who he was going to take number one for about 6 weeks. He told people within the front office about a month ago, but he finally told his head coach, Hugh Jackson, 2 days ago. So regardless of everyone's innuendo, rumors, and mock drafts, he's pretty much had his guy picked out for almost 2 months.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That doesn't surprise
me. Why did you tell your head coach 2 days ago?
I don't know.
Especially when he's like the master planner of your offense, Hugh Jackson being an offensive guy, you might want to give him a little heads up.
I don't know if that means they're not on the same page, but perhaps he just didn't want to reveal. You know, he might be one of those mysterious type of GMs that don't want to reveal anything right away. Because there's a lot of GMs that are like that. And they hold back information, I feel like, for no real reason.
Maybe it was just a case of, you know, he knew in his mind, but he was just waiting to get all the rest of the data. But he was like, you know, let's just make an assumption. Let's just say it's Josh Allen. So he knew 2 months ago, you know what? I really like Josh Allen. That's who I'm drafting, unless the data tells me otherwise. So he spends the next 2 months looking and evaluating the data, and it proves him right. So he knew 2 months ago, right? And then he gets the validation, and then he tells the coach. That might be the case too, right?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to throw logic in here, but.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. Here's the other thing too. As much as people are being like having fun and expecting the Browns to crap the bed again, because of the fact that regardless of what he does at one, because of all of this mad rush for quarterbacks all of a sudden, they might have to. All they have to do is sit back and take the right deals, or just make sure that they're patient and let the people panic trying to make sure they get a quarterback come to them. And they might be able to just stockpile a ton of draft picks to where they'll get so many can't misses or good quality prospects. Even if you miss on a couple, you might be able to have so many picks that you just blow it out of the water because teams are kissing your ass trying to get to the top, the number four pick.
Yeah, could be. All right, I have a question for you guys.
All right.
So at one of the breaks, I went to use the restroom here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a two-toilet situation. They've got a urinal and then the toilet
mm-hmm.
with a stall there. And in the stall is a magazine rack full of magazines. And, well, I shouldn't say a rack. It's more like a basket, right? But they're all laying flat. And in the basket was a roll of toilet paper, about half used. Anybody reading the magazines if you use this restroom? Are you say, 'cause you know that basically You got, who knows how long the magazine, I didn't even touch them. I didn't want to see how long they've been there. Let's just assume that the average magazine was 6 months old. Those magazines have gone through 6 months of dudes using the toilet and holding the magazines at the same time. Now, would you read that magazine, that community poop magazine?
Well, here's the other thing. What kind of magazines were they, dare I ask? Because
I didn't look.
I mean, if it's like Better Homes and Gardens, there's not a dude alive, or not many, that are going to pick it up. But if there's content that might pique their interest while they're in there.
Let's just say it's a Sports Illustrated.
No. I wouldn't pick it up if it was even like a Playboy mag or anything like that. Honestly.
Me either.
You guys at the condo in Tulsa. I'm a take care of business guy. In and out. I've never understood over the course of my life.
You're not in and out because last time you initiated a conversation while sitting on the can. So don't
kiddingly
don't even play.
To you. But I don't waste time in there. My big thing is I've never understood is the people that take like a half hour because they have to use the restroom.
That's totally me. I'll sit there
at the house.
I'll sit there till both legs fall asleep
at the house. Yeah.
Why?
In public restrooms? Absolutely not.
Are you on like a time release with the Duke? Or I mean, because for me, once the Duke's done, I got no more business. I'm done. Why do you sit around? You're hoping that there's round two?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't have a solid answer.
I mean, I don't know, but I've been... My wife is like, really? Like, you just threw... the DVR was on pause so long that it couldn't record anymore and had to start playing on its own.
Or like people that put televisions in their bathroom. Why is that necessary? I'm not spending that much time in there.
Because I don't want to miss the game.
Nah. You can rewind it. And at the same time, what's more comfortable, your couch, your bed, or the crapper?
Are you telling me you have
a TV in your bathroom?
What, am I going to poop on the couch?
No, I'm saying for a comfortable spot to watch TV, if you're just in and out, take care of business, you can get to a more comfortable spot than wanting to spend a half hour of your time sitting on the throne watching a small TV.
See, you've never experienced the joy of having both of your legs fall asleep while you're pooping. That is an amazing experience. You're like
waste.
A newborn baby deer when you get up. You're like a newborn deer trying to learn how to walk again. It's just the best.
That's a good thing? So you obviously have a TV in your bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he said that before. He's admitted that before.
I vaguely remember that, but I just don't get that.
But it's not for pooping, but I did make sure when we designed the house that if the door was open, you could see the TV. It's really for, like, if you're laying in the bathtub, you can watch TV while you're in the tub. Taking a bath.
Now that so I can right understand because it's comfortable. It's right above the tub. You're relaxed and you could sit there and soak and watch TV.
They were going to put the door on another area and I was like, no. The door's got to go here so that I can watch TV while I poop. That was the thing I wanted.
Nick, I mean, at the house by yourself and you're spending that much time pooping. Or is it kind of a waste of time? Is it the after poop? I mean, is that the valuable experience? The after poop when you know you're done but you just want to hang out?
No. When I'm done, I get up.
So it's on time release. You don't just poop right away. It takes a while and then it's like
I'm not a fast one. It takes a while.
You guys are both.
No, I don't believe in quickies. I do need to get one of those potty things that you put your legs on.
What?
Squatty potties?
Why would you need
I need
that
one
for?
Of those.
An ottoman? What are you talking
It's supposed no, an ottoman. No, it's a squatty potty. It's like a little stool. AJ talks about it. I think Raheel has. I saw Raheel tweet a picture of it the other day. It's supposed to make your bowel movements better.
Just eat spinach, man. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Would you say eat spinach?
Yeah. It's like a great...
But spinach doesn't make you poop.
Absolutely does. Greens will do that.
It might make you poop. It might make you poop, but that's not...
Fiber. How about some oatmeal? How about that?
There you go. Fiber. Pineapple. Works. Somebody told me the other day, McDonald's coffee. Like, oh, man.
A lot of people just coffee in general will clear you out.
I believe that.
Yeah, a lot of people say coffee clears you out. Yeah.
No, I can't. I don't know that there's anything that really makes me go. I'm pretty consistent. I'm lucky in that regard.
Broccoli will give me gas and pineapple and coffee.
Everything gives you gas, Joel.
That's not true.
We're going to start calling you the Texaco, bro. You got gas all the time from everything.
Oh, that was funny. Okay. Well, I like the mock draft joke, too. Okay, we'll continue to move on. We've got plenty more to get to, including your Houston Astros. The Astros starting a series with the Oakland Athletics after losing 2 of 3 to the Angels, but in the process they did get yesterday. Verlander's now 4-0. Interesting comments that I'll bring up about the rotation. Most of the talk of baseball in terms of starting pitching is your Houston Astros. Albert Pujols, He said he's seen better. Come on, man. We'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two, almost done with the show. Still have an hour still in the books to get to as we roll on. Again, a busy night in sports and lots to talk about because the draft starts tonight. The Rockets have some time off as they get ready to see who they're going to play in the next round. But the Bucks and the Celtics are tonight. And, of course, the Stros opening up a weekend series starting tomorrow with the Oakland Athletics after a win yesterday. I mentioned this before we went to break, Barry, but I was telling Nick, I mean, understandably, look, Pujols has had his way with the Astros over the course of his career, but to come out and talk about the starting pitching of the Stros in the Chronicle and say, I faced better pitching than that, then he tried to clarify and said he didn't mean it as disrespect, but he's battled the rarefied rotations of the last two decades. So he caught the tail end of the Braves. He matured as he took on a rotation in the Marlins when they stacked up in the early 2000s. He's seen the Phillies rotation the year that they had Schilling and company. But, I mean, overall, look, either don't say anything at all, but don't say I've seen better, because we don't know what let's judge it at the end of the year, as long as they avoid injuries. But look, it's hard to argue that you have to at least put this rotation in the discussion if it continues at the clip that it's going as with the way they've started the season.
Yeah, I mean, Albert Pujols probably has seen better rotations because he hits the Astros. He's an Astros killer. So to him, in his mind, what he sees and what he's producing, maybe against that Braves rotation early in his career, he struggled. So that was a better rotation to him than the Astros. But I think there's no denying the fact that this rotation, if they pitch the way they're capable of, will go down as, you know, one of those rotations that will be mentioned for years to come as one of the best in baseball that's existed. I mean, 1 through 5, it's hard to argue what these guys are capable of doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. It's just, you know, to me, I was just like, man, just don't say anything at all yet or tip your cap to them, but just play the game a little bit. I know the Angels are feeling good about themselves, and you know, some of the conversation yesterday after the game was that they were talking about, hey, they came into the Astros park and won 2 of 3, and it is the first of 6 series, I think, between the two teams, but they're feeling great about themselves now as they move forward. And you and I touched on it yesterday, and you said it. I mean, look, they're not going anywhere. This isn't last year's Angels team. They're a much improved team, whether it's Ohtani or not. It's all the other pieces that they brought in around that have made them. It's the Uptons and the Kinslers and the players like that that have made this team better. And it's not going to be the cakewalk that it was a year ago for the Astros in this division.
And the fact that Anderson Simmons is hitting the ball like a wild man.
Yeah, that's crazy, because that's not something you expect. Yeah. That's a guy that's known for his defense, but that's not a guy that's known for his stick.
Speaking of, a guy that's probably not getting a lot of love, at least down here, because I think we're all enthralled, but Didi Gregorius,
yeah, he's on fire.
Is playing out of his mind right now. He is leading the American League in average. He is second in home runs with 9, leading the American League in RBIs. Just this, and everyone was looking at this team and saying, "Well, Judge and Stanton and Gary Sanchez,
right.
And it's, you know, he can thank his lucky stars that he's sandwiched in between all these guys." But you still have to produce.
Let me give you.
I mean, he's going to be the guy that gets the. He's going to be the guy that gets all the pitches to hit. You still got to hit him, and he's producing. When you can get .358, .9, and .29 from your shortstop in
no
the
doubt.
First month,
yeah,
whew.
I mean, look at it. You're not. That's not Correa numbers. Everybody's looking at Correa as a potential MVP candidate this year, but he's surpassing anybody that you would put at shortstop pretty much for the numbers he's putting up. But to put it in perspective, from my standpoint, all my friends in New York on Facebook who normally get into the political discussions and the selfies and all that other stuff, they're on such a D.D. Gregorius kick on everything that guy does, because you know how so New Yorker it can be when they have someone that does something well. Oh my God, every Yankee fan I know just thinks that he hung the moon. Again, there's another thing. Let's see him do it for the full season, but he's saved the bacon after a slow start for the Yankees team and, of course, more specifically, Stanton and guys like that. But man, he's playing out of his mind.
I mean, he's slugging .802. Which is just ridiculous right now when you consider Mookie Betts, who was another kind of surprise for me with his 8 home runs. I think he had his 3rd leadoff home run the other day. He's about 50 some odd points behind in second. So, listen, I don't think Didi Gregorius is going to do this all year, but being sandwiched in between Aaron Judge hitting in front of you and Giancarlo Stanton hitting behind you with Gary Sanchez following Stanton, you're going to get a ton of teams are going to say, you know what, you're going to beat us. We're not going to let Judge beat us. We're not going to let Stanton beat us. And he's doing it. So he's going to continue. It's kind of like what Bregman was doing really well in between Springer and Altuve. He's going to see a lot of pitches to hit because of that too. So pretty crazy. We got a bunch of text on our conversation last segment about pooping and whatnot.
Okay.
And Ben the Skeleton really broke this down, and I think he's pretty. He said the only thing about the magazines, I would assume the people that reading them weren't finished, so they would put the magazine down to finish, so they wouldn't have touched anything gross yet. They probably still touch their junk at least once, right?
Yeah, I feel like something.
I like
nasty.
How Barry always that's throws it nasty. Out for our validation because he wants to get us in trouble, right, guys? Right?
Well, no, I'm just asking. You guys can agree or disagree, but I'm saying that they probably at least touched their junk once and then the
I
magazine.
Agree with you, Barry.
I'm out. I'm immediately out on that. Somebody said Barry sitting too long can reduce blood flow and increase the risk of cancer.
Oh boy.
Oh, I know it'll give you hemorrhoids too. You got to be careful. Somebody want to know who won way back Wednesday? Nick won way back Wednesday. And then he was disqualified. So I won. He was disqualified because Layla was originally released in the 70s.
Which I thought about at the time, and I didn't have the time to look up. But I love how you just make these decisions. Well, I don't even have a say-so. Yeah. Nick won. And then when Nick did win, I won. Okay, Commissioner.
We're going to do a Twitter poll. Kirsten Spike, who used to work with us, suggested it to me yesterday. We're just going to do a Twitter poll.
Wait. Hold on. Now, I'm usually not this guy, but she suggested it to you? I've been trying to get you to do Twitter polls, and then you were the guys who were like, that's not a competition.
Actually, I think one time we did try it. And we couldn't get it to work or something. Like, we attempted, but it didn't. Like, we couldn't get it to work with the list picture. Being published at the same time, is what
yeah,
it was.
You couldn't do. Well, I tried to do something with it, but maybe you can do it with a picture. I don't know. But yeah, it was a. We struggled, but I've been wanting to do the poll forever because I got a bunch of followers I can make go out and vote for me.
All right, we'll do it.
I can totally rig that election.
But wait a second. What's the deal with Layla? Because the release date that I saw was 1992.
That was from a movie.
But this song was originally released in the 70s. He redid it again.
Okay, so no, it was released in 1992.
It was re-released because of a movie, I believe.
Okay, well then that makes it released in 1992.
No, but the original came out in the 70s.
See, y'all are just making up rules
y'all,
now. All because,
I didn't DQ yeah. you.
All because looked at the release date 1 week. Y'all are still butthurt over it. It's like it's been like three
I did.
Weeks.
No, listen, I did because I was in second, so this is an easy win for me because you cheated. So, I'm over here. My hand is being raised by an imaginary referee. It's nice to be a winner.
You're sure it's not from the guy in the stall in the bathroom with the magazine rack?
The magazine pooper? No,
yeah,
it's not.
No?
Hey, okay, this was a question that came up, and we get this question every day, so I'm just going to ask it this once because we have to go to break, so we can't spend a lot of time on it. This is why I'm strategically asking it now. Why don't the Texans trade Watt for the number 4 pick and get a running back and get Saquon Barkley? Because they're not going to trade J.J. Watt. That's just not going to happen yet. If they do, I would be very surprised. But they're not. you've got a guy on the left in Clowney that hasn't even reached 10 sacks yet. You got Whitney Mercilus coming off an injury. J.J. Watt's coming off an injury. People aren't going to want J.J. Watt because they don't know if he's going to be the J.J. Watt of old. Now is not the time to be trying to trade him. You're not going to get max value for him. He's getting older. And he is Houston. J.J. Watt is Houston. And the Texans care as much about their image, or maybe more, than they do about winning on the football field. And that's also why they're not going to trade J.J. Watt.
And do you want to, if you are going to trade J.J. Watt, like if that crazy thought happens this soon, are you going to do it for a running back?
No, you're doing that's it for a draft pick. But I'm just telling you right now, I'm not even entertaining it. Because like we've touched on it way too many times. And people get far too giddy about, I hate to say it, but he's damaged goods as a player. And Barry's point is spot on in terms of that organization. We know they have their quirks. We know that they've become predictable for those of us that have followed them long enough. And one of them is that upstanding citizen right there ain't going anywhere.
The average casual Texans fan, the one that puts the eyelashes on their car and has the flags all that crap, they would lose their mind because they wouldn't understand that from a football standpoint, it might actually make sense to trade him, but that doesn't matter to them. They don't care about that. You just that would be like Houston trading Mattress Mac. You don't do that. They're not going to do it. Just not going to happen.
I don't say this much, but well said, and I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
So there's that. That threw you for a loop, didn't it? It kind of stopped you in your tracks.
I'm stunned right now. Yeah, I know it. I'm stunned.
All right. Well, let's regroup. We've got 1 hour to go in the show, so we continue to have 60 minutes on the clock, and we will continue to roll on. If there's something that you have on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at the Texas Can Academies. Been telling you about them for quite a while, and I'll tell you about them again because it's Houstonians helping kids in need in the Houston area that are trying to get a second chance at an education. A lot of times, these kids have distractions throughout the course of the day, and it's hard to focus on the books. Sometimes they don't have enough money to get a warm meal, or they don't have bus fare, or they can't afford to get the books that they need in order to hit the studies, or maybe they don't have glasses so they can read the books that they got. All these are distractions, and all these can be taken care of with donations from people like you out there that might have a vehicle collecting rust or dust in their field, in their garage, in their storage unit, and they want to get rid of it. Maybe it was damaged during the hurricane, whether it was insured or not. You don't want to pay for a tow truck. You want to get rid of it because it's not even working anymore. Well, here's all you do. You pick up the phone and you call the people at Houston Cars for Kids. All you do is call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They do the paperwork. You get a nice tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You even get a $50 gift card. And then they take your donation and they turn it into the resources that these kids need so they don't have the distractions. That means they get the eyeglasses. They get the bus fare. They get the warm meals. They get the book money. And they just focus on the books and they get their education. It's a great program. And again, it's all because of the work of you, the people of Houston, that make the donations. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.